So tonight is the official start of the Breakup Solution Summit, and I couldn't imagine a better beginning than to have the one and the only, our keynote speaker, Mr. Bruce Music. If you ever get the chance to spend some time with Bruce, the word authenticity will come up in conversation at least once. Bruce's mission is teaching people to find freedom and happiness through being authentic. He believes that intimate relationships are the fastest way to grow, both spiritually and psychologically, and he's passionate about sharing what he's learned about how to build loving relationships and heal broken ones. Bruce is a world-class trainer and speaker, and you can watch him in action at the TEDx Sin City. Bruce Music will be sharing a gold mine of strategies, mindsets, and practical approaches for healing heartbreak the healthy way. And tonight, Bruce is going to be teaching us 5 quick and instantly healing conversations to have with your ex so you can move forward without accumulating emotional baggage. And a simple technique that will end the torture of your mind replaying the past over and over. I know that one. And also, how to turn your breakup into an opportunity to become more self-aware so that your next relationship is not a repeat of your last one. And Bruce also has a very special free offer just for the Breakup Solution Summit about Law of Attraction secrets and visualization techniques, which we will let you know all about more very soon. On a personal note, I have been following Bruce and his work for years, and I don't think I've ever known a more genuine, honest, and real human being. Bruce Music is someone who walks his talk and is constantly refining and improving his life experience. He has set the example for me for how to be brave, face my fear head on, and that everyone deserves a second chance. Welcome, Bruce, to the call.
Wow, what an introduction. Thank you. I'm blushing. Great, Anna.
You're so very welcome. So for those of our listeners that haven't heard your story, can you provide us a little background about your own breakup journey?
Sure. Firstly, let me preface this by saying this is actually the first time I've shared this like this on a public call, other than crying my eyes out to my friends during my breakup. But about a year ago, I fell in love with an extraordinary woman, a woman I later decided was my soulmate, and we split up in the beginning of this year. For reasons that don't really matter, but essentially, it was the hardest breakup I'd ever been through in my life. It came completely out of the blue. I was totally not expecting it. And the most frustrating thing was it happened while I was away on a motorcycle trip in Africa, and I couldn't go and actually speak to her and talk it through. And the 4 months that followed that breakup were just torment for me. I felt like the relationship shouldn't have ended. I didn't really understand why. She didn't really want to speak to me. She just wanted her space. And I, of course, was reaching out very needily, desperately trying to get her back, feeling worthless, feeling betrayed, feeling, I mean, just the whole gamut of feelings that we go through when we get broken up, grief, heartbreak, myself is such a knock. I couldn't focus. I couldn't work. I would sit down in front of my computer, and I just couldn't do any work. Thank God I have a business that kind of ticks over on the internet without me having to do anything, because I was fortunate enough to be able to take 4 months off to just help myself heal. But 4 months didn't seem like it was enough. In any event, 4 months later, we end up getting back together again. And at this time, I think it's for real. And we've grown a lot. Both of us in those 4 months grew a lot. I grew a lot, started doing a lot of soul searching as to, you know, how did I cause the breakup to happen? Rather than blaming her, which I did in the beginning, I started looking at, okay, hang on here. I must have played a role in this too. How did I make this happen? And I had a lot of learning and a lot of personal growth from actually looking at how I had made it happen. And, you know, as we started talking a few months into our breakup, she started revealing to me, you know, some of the things that hadn't worked for her in the relationship. And I could really see how, oh, I definitely played a part in this relationship falling. So 4 months later, we'd both grown a lot, and we realized we still loved each other, and we got back together, and I was the happiest bunny under the sun. My tail was wagging. I was just like, found the love of my life. I've won her back. Like, fantastic. Everything's hunky-dory. Of course, 2 months later, she breaks up with me again and moves to a different country this time. And I go through the whole thing all over again, except this time a lot less intense because I've done a lot of the work myself. And this time both of us, because we'd been through a breakup before the hard way, and I would say the immature way, we were a lot more mature. We kept speaking to each other throughout the entire breakup. And eventually I realized that me being needy was not going to help. I just needed to give her what she wanted, which was her space. And long story short, a month later, off the country, I went to visit her in New York, and I took a stand, and I said, look, I let you go. You can do whatever you want with your life, but I'm a stand that we be together. You are my soulmate. I love you. And she, a week later, came to me saying, look, I realize now what I've needed to learn, I've learned. And I realize I'm ready, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And we're now probably just under a month into spending the rest of our life together. And I'm the happiest I've ever been. And you are listening, maybe thinking, wow, what a wonderful story. And she might break up with you again. I'm like, well, if she does, she does. But we're learning and growing every minute. And the context in which our relationship lives is that we are together to support each other's growth. And that's what we're doing together right now. So I have actually a very happy relationship breakup story after having probably had the worst year of my life in 2011 in terms of I spent, you know, 5 months of it in heartbreak and grief and just being able to function. I've now come out the other side being able to be really grateful for that whole experience. So that's the kind of the condensed version. I won't go into the trauma because it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Although it would make a good soap opera.
Well, thank you for sharing your personal story with us. I appreciate that. And congratulations for having a beautiful ending. It's all a journey. But
it's all a journey, still. Exactly.
What can you tell someone who... I'm all about personal responsibility, and I believe that that's key. But what can you tell someone who really blames themselves for why their relationship ended and feels that they are the ones who caused it to end and are taking a lot of heat for that and are really internalizing that?
Well, I think the first thing you need to do, if you're blaming yourself and you can really see yourself at the source of the relationship breaking down, like maybe you cheated and you're unfaithful, or maybe you never listened to your partner and didn't give them the experience of being heard. I know that was one of my downfalls, and my partner never experienced me hearing her. You can blame yourself, and I want to kind of create a distinction here between blaming yourself and finding yourself at the source of it, okay? When you're blaming yourself, you can see that you caused it, and you're making yourself wrong for it. You're beating yourself up for it. When you find yourself at the source of it, you can see that you caused it, and you're learning from it. You're not beating yourself up. You just see what's so. So if you can really find yourself at the source of your relationship breakup and see how... see the role that you played in causing the breakup, and you're willing to learn from it, the next step to do is to go and clean up the mess that you made. And what I mean by that is you want to go and apologize and make right whatever you've done wrong in the best way you can and the way that would work for the person you feel you've wronged. So, apologizing may not make any difference to the other person. But for your own growth, so that you can move on, because your question was, how do you stop somebody? How do you stop beating yourself up if you know you've kind of done wrong? Is you just really go and do everything in your power to make it right, And often that's humiliating and embarrassing. And I want to share a story from my marriage. I come from a failed marriage. Well, actually, that's not true. I wouldn't say the marriage was a failure. It was a huge success. It just ended prematurely because I cheated. And I'd been cheating on my ex-wife for 3 years, and I hadn't told her because I was too afraid that if I told her, she would leave me. However, in a marriage that just had no physical spark in it. And when I broke up with her, I told her the truth about what had happened. And I knew that if I just went and ran off to the Caribbean where I live right now, I would carry this baggage of this breakup with me, the guilt, the shame, and the lack of integrity that I displayed would come with me and impact my next relationships. So what I chose to do was to really make it right. And I went and I apologized to her completely. I gave her a house in our divorce as a way of making it right. And then I went to her parents and I explained to them why I had cheated on their daughter and apologized and begged their forgiveness. And then went to her brother and did the same thing. I then went to my family and explained why I had cheated on my wife and cleaned up with them. And then I went to some of the people who were key in our wedding, who had witnessed us committing to each other for life, and explained to them and apologized and cleaned it up. And I restored my trust and my integrity with the people in my community by cleaning it up. They wanted to see that I knew I'd done wrong and that I wasn't going to do it again and that I'd actually had a breakthrough and learned from it. And when they saw that, they forgave me and I forgave myself. Like, I knew I'd done everything in my power to make this right, and I stopped beating myself up. I mean, I was beyond beating myself at that point. I was actually incredibly proud of myself for having had the courage to do possibly one of the most challenging things I'd ever done in my life, and certainly one of the most humiliating things I'd ever had to do, or maybe not humiliating, but humbling things I'd ever have to do, going to speak to all those people who really had their trust in me. And being a pretty, like a mini celebrity personal development, in the personal development world, you know, it was even harder for me because these people had me on a pedestal as being, you know, some personal development guru, and here I was cheating on my wife. So to answer your question the long way around, go and make it right with whoever you need to make it right with, and do whatever you can to make it right. And, you know, take what you get. Sometimes you'll be well received, other times you'll have jaws slammed in your face. Done everything you can, there's no reason to continue beating yourself up.
Thank you for sharing that intensely personal experience.
No problem.
How?
Just life, you know.
I know.
We all have ours. We all have our own stories.
Right. How does this baggage, if you will, that we carry around, if we don't clean up our stuff, and the pain that we feel, and, you know, we can feel this breakup pain without closure for years. Mm-hmm. I think the latest statistic I heard was that oftentimes we can feel breakup pain for up to 5 years after the relationship ends. So how can carrying this baggage around prevent our future chances of having true love?
That's a great question, Anna. I think what happens is when you carry your breakup baggage around with you, it stinks. And people can smell it, you know, and I mean that metaphorically. And that some people will be attracted to that smell, and you'll end up attracting partners who are attracted to your baggage. And that's kind of how I see relationships working, is that until we deal with our own internal stuff, we attract our reciprocal opposites that are designed to push our buttons, to push the stuff that we've not been dealing with up to the surface, to force us to face it, look at it, deal with it, and ultimately transform it and transcend it. And if we don't do that, and if we don't approach a relationship as an opportunity to grow, generally what happens is when our partner pushes our buttons, or our buttons get pushed, we point a finger at our partner and say, you're not loving me enough, or you're not loving me in the right way, or you're not whatever it is that your baggage is causing you to say. And when your partner doesn't change, when you try and change him, because inevitably at some point we try and change our partner, when our partner doesn't change, we go, you know what, you're just not right for me, and we leave them. Or we create a situation to get out the relationship through the back door. So rather than leaving them overtly, we might leave them covertly, and we'll become such a pain in the ass that they leave us, or something like that. So what will end up happening is that until you deal with your stuff, you'll, A, keep on attracting partners that push your buttons to push up that stuff, the same kind of relationship in a different form, And B, they'll end in the same way and with a lot of heartbreak eventually. And it's not going to change. For those, you know, people who tell you that, you know, eventually you're going to meet Mr. or Mrs. Wright and suddenly it's going to be fine, I think it's total BS, because you know, the person you fall in love with is going to be the person that pushes your buttons the most. The person who you're most compatible with is going to be the person who's probably being your best friend, not your lover, right? That's the way I look at it. If you want a friendly, comfortable, boring relationship, go find a best friend who doesn't push your buttons at all, who you know is the same as you and who isn't your reciprocal opposite. If you want a passionate, dynamic relationship that's filled with growth, go find your reciprocal opposite that pushes all your buttons and then learn how to dance with them. Learn how to grow together and find a partner who wants to grow with you. So if you don't deal with your stuff, that's what happens. You attract the same partner, but you don't know how to deal with it, so the same stuff comes up, and then you leave them, and then you attract the next one. And eventually what happens is you start to create stories, like all men, you know, are bastards, or some, you know, men, all women cheat, or whatever it is, because you've had so many of the same relationship over and over again, you couldn't be blamed for thinking that all men are bastards or all men cheat. Dated were bastards to you, and all the women you dated were cheats, because that's what you're attracting. So until you really get a sense of what it is that you, what your blind spots are, what your dark side is, what your shadow is, you won't have any access to be able to attract different people. And that's a lot of what I do in my coaching with people, is I help people uncover their blind spots and uncover their shadow material that they've buried deep into their psyche so that they can shine a light on it and not and recognize it when it comes up again and not fall into the pattern of the same behavior patterns over and over.
Right, right. These belief systems that we create can be quite insidious, and they can run our lives for us on a subconscious level.
And I think it's, Anna, it's more than even belief systems. A lot of it's just emotional wounding and trauma that we got as children, like all of us did to some degree, and we never got complete. Or the fact that we learned to associate love with the good and the bad properties of both of our parents. And so in our partner, we're usually looking at our partner is usually the reciprocal, it's usually a combination of the good and the bad elements of both our mother and our father, the ones that are the most emotionally intense for us, we will attract into our partner. And until we realize what's going on and really understand our past and get it complete, quote unquote, we really don't have any power to deal with that coming up in our relationship when our partner suddenly reminds us of our mother or our father. Because it's only in a romantic relationship, Anna, that we project our parents onto our romantic partner. And so when you're in relationship with somebody, you're basically in relationship with one or both of your parents. And if you don't realize that while you're in the relationship and get that they're projecting their parents onto you and talk about it and understand what's going on, you're screwed. You don't really have a hope in hell unless you're kind of lucky or you're both very mellow people willing to live an average, boring life. And I'm not saying that anybody in a happy relationship is living an average, boring life. I'm just saying most people are.
Right.
Yeah.
This question just came up for me, and that is, if we do our inner work, if we do our stuff, as you put it, could we effectively be compatible with anyone? Or is there such a thing as two people just being fundamentally incompatible? And more to the point, is there, if someone wants their ex back, they really want their ex back, is there such a thing as two people just not being meant to be?
I don't believe in meant to be, Anna. It's a good question, though. I think there's two people in different spaces and places in lives that maybe don't have the skills or the desire. Like if I look at Chelsea, my lover, the love of my life, my woman, she and I broke up twice, and we were in the wrong place in our life to be together effectively. It took us breaking up twice and moving, you know, and at the time she was not convinced that we were meant for each other. I had a little more faith, but she's listening to this call actually, so she's probably chuckling. You know, in the end, it took us growing. So, you know, I don't like to believe in fate. I think anything is possible, and each one of us has the ability to create anything we want in our life and attract whatever we want into our life. It's a matter of how much self-awareness you have. And the more self-awareness you have, the more control you have over your ability to attract a different kind of partner or a different kind of experience.
I love what you said. Anything is possible, and we truly are the creators of our own destiny. With that thought in mind, if someone on the call really wants their ex back, and is it fair to say, okay, well, let me take that concept further and try and create that with my thoughts, with my behavior, with my attitude?
Yeah.
Is that a possibility?
Yeah, it's a possibility. It's unlikely that it'll work like that. Here's what I would say if you really want your ex back. Let them go and set them free. If they come back, you know the story. It was meant to be. If they don't, they were never yours from the beginning. I heard a wonderful metaphor I want to share with you that from a friend of mine very quickly. And he was coaching me right in the middle of my breakup with Chelsea. And he was saying to me, Bruce, I want you to consider that consider a little bird, and you're sitting in your balcony, and you know you're having coffee in your balcony, and this little beautiful little bird comes and sits on your balcony, and you say, "Hi, little bird," and the little bird says to you, "Hi, how are you?" And you say, "I'm doing great. Why don't you stay and have coffee with me?" The little bird says, no, sorry, I've got to fly off," and flies off, and then you don't see the little bird again for 2 or 3 days, and you're back in your balcony, and the little bird comes back. And say, "Oh, little bird, it's so nice to see you." And little bird says, "Nice to see you too," and kind of sings you a little tune, stays for a little bit longer this time, and says, "Sorry, Bruce, gotta go," and runs off again. And then the next day, the bird comes back again, and you're like, "Little bird, would you like to stick around a little bit longer?" And little bird says, "Sure, I'll come a little bit closer and stick around a little bit longer." And then the bird disappears, and eventually, little bird comes to you and says, "Hey, could I make a nest on your shoulder?" And little bird makes a nest on your shoulder and stays there. And you and little bird live happily ever after. But that's not how mostly the story goes. Mostly, here's what happened. Little bird comes and lands on our balcony for the first time. And we're like, "Hi, little bird." And little bird goes, "Hi." And you think, "Wow, what a lovely little bird." And so the little bird says, "Bye, I'll see you later." And you say, "Well, when am I going to see you? When am I going to see you? I'd love to see you again." Little bird says, "Well, I don't know, whenever I come back." So a few days later, the little bird comes back, and you say to the little bird, "Little bird, I got a gift for you." And the little bird says, "What?" And you look around, and he says, "A cage." And you put the little bird in the cage so you can keep the little bird around. And the little bird dies of being trapped in a cage. And that's what most of us are doing with our partners, trying to put them in cages when we're wanting to get our exes back. We want to get them back for our own reasons, because we want to end our heartbreak, not to give them a gift, but to end our own pain. And that's the wrong reason to want to go about getting your ex back. So what I would say, certainly this is what happened with me, and anybody else I know who's gotten their ex back, who's now in a successful relationship and they're still together, is I had to let Chelsea go. I had to really get to the point where I was willing to live without her and love her and bless her on her journey and honor that she had chosen her journey without me. And know that if that's what she had chosen, that's what was right for her in the moment, and really show her that I honored her choice and that I respected her choice and I wasn't going to disrespect her choice. The minute I did that, something shifted energetically in me, something shifted energetically in her, and within days, she was beating down my door to get me back, and a week later, she phoned me and said she wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. But the thing is, Anna, you can't – she wanted to spend the rest of her life with me, should I say. The thing is, you can't fake this. You can't fake letting somebody go. You've really got to authentically let them go and be, you know, move on with your life and be willing to spend the rest of your life without this person. Then you stand a chance. But until you get to that point, it's just going to be neediness, it's selfishness. It's just going to be you wanting to get them back for your own reasons.
Exactly. And we're all connected. We're all connected. And someone can be miles away, and they still feel your energy. And the more that you are needy and trying to get someone, get something from someone, it really is like a repellent.
Mm. I wonder if I can just share something very quickly that I think might help people who are in the middle of a breakup right now. Would that be okay? I just, there's something
please,
here.
Please, please do.
On my screen in front of me that I plan to share that I think might make a difference for everybody, because it made a difference for me. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, who's one of the, I guess, pioneers in the personal development world, wrote a book on death called On Death and Dying. And she studied death and the emotional responses people went through when people they loved died. And she discovered there were five stages that people of grieving. And the first stage is she called denial. If you have a pen and paper in front of you, you might want to write these five stages down. Stage one is denial. And I think we go through these five stages when a relationship ends in some form. And because a relationship ending is the same as a death, really. It's a death, you know, the person doesn't die physically, but the connection between you and them dies. And we grieve that connection and that loss. And so the first step is denial. And once we've done with denial, like usually in denial we're going, oh my God, this isn't happening. No, this can't be happening. And we're just in total shock and denial when the relationship ends. Then usually the next step we move into is anger. This is step two, is anger. And we get really pissed either at ourselves or at our partner or at God or the world or the universe, whatever the case may be. And then we move into bargaining. And bargaining is like you make deals with your partner. Look, please, take me back. I promise I won't be like that again. I'll change my wicked ways, kind of thing, you know. Bargaining with God. I've bargained with God, like praying, you know. If you bring her back, I promise I'll dedicate my life to service, you know. Or, and then stage four, or the fourth step. And by the way, we move through these five steps. Up and down. They may not be sequentially, but we generally move through them and we'll be centered in one of them at any one time. After that hits depression. And this is when you said earlier that some people spend 5 years never recovering from a breakup, it's because they get stuck in step four, depression, never move into step five. And we all know what depression's about, and we're all been stuck there at some point. And a lot of what my coaching does is help people move from depression into this fifth stage, which is acceptance. And in acceptance, you're seeing the benefits of the breakup. You're being grateful, and you're feeling nothing but authentic love for your partner. So if you have recognized yourself in one of those stages, just know you're into the next one soon. If you're in denial right now, you've just broken up with your partner, the next thing you'll probably experience is a shitload of anger, and you know, allow yourself to feel that. It's fine. Just go through that. So I wanted to share that with you briefly, because that was very useful for me, knowing that I was in a process. There were stages I was going to go through, and I was going to come out the other side eventually, because at one point I thought this was going to go on forever and I'd never come out the other side.
Thank you for sharing that. It can feel like a very crazy time. You can feel almost crazy within your own thoughts, and that's actually a mm-hmm. question I have is, what are some practical ways to end the obsessive thinking, the way that we torture our minds, ruminating over the breakup, maybe about the past? You know, what is our ex doing? Who are they with? How would we? How can we tame those obsessive thoughts?
Well, I think the first thing to do is to allow them to be and not resist them. That's a wonderful saying I learned from one of my mentors, Werner Erhard, that what you resist persists. And so just allow them to be, know that they're normal, and don't make any decisions when you're in those spaces, right? Don't do anything crazy. You know, you may end up stalking your partner. Well, you know, just don't get caught. Secondly, I find visualization really helps, and the free gift I wanted to give to your listeners today is a visualization gift. One of my areas of expertise has been visualization and using visualization to help recreate our self-image and to attract the things that we want, be it relationship partners or whatever you want in life. And I find that certainly when I was in my breakup, I'd wake up depressed. I would just wake up depressed, and sometimes within 5 minutes of getting out of bed, I'd be back in bed trying to sleep again because I couldn't face the day, or I'd be crying my eyes out, or I'd be, you know, just moping about. And what kicked me out of it every morning was I'd put on my headphones and listen to my Relaxation for Manifestation, which is a visualization program I've created, and it just guided me through visualizing me being my best self. visualizing me being the kind of man I wanted to be in the world, visualizing myself with a partner that I really wanted, visualizing myself feeling loved. And after 20 minutes of that every morning, I came out and, like, that would last me most of the day. If I didn't do my visualization in the morning, I wasn't going to have a very good day right in the thick of it. So that's it's a great place to start. And if you're interested in finding out more about visualization, I got a whole lot of free training that I offer at www.attractioncd.com. Attractioncd.com. When you get to attractioncd.com, you're going to be presented with a sales letter for the actual product. But if you stick around there for about like 10 seconds, a little window is going to pop up. And in that window is going to offer you three free law of attraction and visualization trainings. If you enter your email address in there, I'll keep sending you more powerful visualization information that will help you be able to create the life of your dreams, be able to create your self-image again. Because I think in relationship breakups, we can just get so – we can beat ourselves up. And certainly my self-image got knocked a lot. And I'm a pretty confident guy. And at one point, I was just feeling totally worthless, and this really made a difference. So that would be the other thing I'd recommend. And then other than just the normal stuff, like get out of the house. Make sure you get out of the house. Use your friends to support you. I cycled my friends around because I couldn't stand telling the same story over and over and over to all my friends. And then finally, I got some great advice from a good friend of mine, Nathan Archer, to me. Bruce, when I was breaking up from my ex-wife, it took me 4 months to recover. And he said he eventually realized about a month in he wasn't going to be effective or productive at all. And his whole day was getting screwed up. So what he did to stop the thoughts is he actually scheduled an hour a day in his calendar, a full hour to grieve. And he said to himself, okay, for that full hour, I'm going to cry. I'm going to beat my pillow. I'm going to do whatever I do. I'm going to grieve and feel those feelings through to completion. And then I'm done with my grieving for the day. Then I'm not allowed to grieve until the next day. And he said that really helped. And I did the same thing. So for about 2 weeks, I scheduled this hour a day. And what was beautiful about it is for that hour, it gave me permission to explore all the dumb things that my mind was bringing up. You know, I'd yell and I'd scream and I'd visualize her having sex with, you know, another man and all that kind of stuff and wonder what she was doing and stalk her on Facebook. For that hour, I was allowed to do that. After that, it was done, and that got me back productive and back on my feet again, myself actual permission to do it.
That's very helpful advice. Thank you. I appreciate that. So sure. I'm curious about what are the 5 instantly healing conversations to have with your ex? Because some of us who might have a lot of anger and resentment don't really think of having a healing conversation with our ex.
Very good. You probably wouldn't want to have this conversation when you're still stuck in anger and resentment. Given the 5 stages, okay. Well, firstly, thank you for asking this question. These are questions I came up with, and they're actually, I think, very responsible for Chelsea and I being back together right now. And I'm just going to frame it by saying, what I'm teaching you is an advanced strategy that you don't want to be using until you're at a place of you're out of the anger, denial, and bargaining stage, those first stages of grieving. And you could use it in depression and you could use it in acceptance. In those 2 stages, it would be acceptable. But don't use it as you're angry or if you're in bargaining or in denial, and certainly don't use it as a strategy to try and get your ex back. It may get your ex back, but not if you're using it as a strategy to get your ex back. So Chelsea and I had broken up the second time, and I realized that this relationship was potentially over. And I wanted to let her know how much I loved her and how much I accepted her unconditionally and that how much I respected her choice to leave me and honored her choice to leave me rather than resisting her choice to leave me. And so I wanted to get the relationship complete, A, so that I could move on, and B, so that she could move on and that we wouldn't be carrying any hard feelings or harboring any hard feelings with each other. So what I'm going to teach you are 5 quick conversations that you can have that will totally heal your connection with your partner and allow you to both move on. And when I say heal your connection, I don't mean reunite you again. I mean heal the wound of having that connection severed. You know, I often think of a connection like a cord between my heart and Chelsea's heart. And when we broke up, it felt like somebody had ripped the cord out of my chest. And there was a whole gaping hole there that was kind of like, you know, this flesh wound. And what these conversations did was heal a flesh wound for both of us. We both ended up in tears at the end of them, just telling each other how much we loved each other and how grateful we were for each other. And then, you know, 2 days later, she left and moved country. And I was blessed to see her go. But it brought her, you know, I blessed her on her way, should I say. But it brought us a lot closer together. And as a result, I think we're back together now because she left having had this conversation. So here are these healing conversations, right? There are 5-sentence stems. And what you're going to do is you're going to sit opposite your partner. And I recommend you get a pen and write these down, and I am going to give you a website address where I actually created a blog post for you with these 5-sentence stems so you can go and read them afterwards. You're going to sit opposite your partner, and you need to first enroll your partner in the possibility of having this conversation with you. So you want to say to your ex, look, I'd really love to have a healing conversation with you so that we can both move on lovingly and not carry any baggage or any bad feelings around. It's my commitment that this conversation brings nothing but love to us. I'm not going to be getting into an argument with you. I'm not going to be trying to win you back. I'm just purely wanting to get this complete and wrapped up in a way that allows us both to move on freely. So what you do is you sit opposite each other, choose an A and a B person, partner. A goes first, then you switch and B goes first for each, B goes next for each conversation. And you're going to finish these sentence stems. So the first sentence stem is thank you for dot, dot, dot. Okay? And what you're going to do is you're going to thank your partner for anything that you feel grateful for that they provided for you during your relationship. For example, you might say, you know, thank you for standing up when a guy insulted me. Thank you for teaching me how to open my heart. Thank you for tolerating me when I did bloody, bloody, blah. And you're really going to thank them. Thank you for bringing me a new set of friends into my life. Thank you for, and you're not going to stop until you're done. And this person's really going to feel totally acknowledged. They are not allowed to respond or comment back. You just go. And I recommend you take 5 minutes each way for each of the questions. And then you switch, and your partner's going to go, thank you for. And the next one is going to be, what I love about you is dot, dot, dot. Now, this one's a little tougher because you've just broken up with this person, but you really want to get present to what you love about this person to acknowledge them for it. And here you're going to acknowledge the things you love about your partner or that your partner did that stand out as being extraordinary. You want your partner to know that you think that they're extraordinary. No matter how much pain you feel they've caused you, they're extraordinary, and you want to find that loving extraordinariness in them so that you can get back to love. So, you know, what I love about you is how, you know, even when I do the dumbest things, you don't judge me, but you support me. Or what I love about you is that, you know, when I fart in bed, you pretend not to notice, or whatever the case may be, right? And go for 5 minutes, and then your partner's going to switch. Then the other one, this is the third one, they get progressively difficult as you go, is I apologize for dot, dot, dot. Now, here you've got to be careful because if you're still in anger, you're going to blame your partner and you're not going to apologize. You really want to own your words here and you want to apologize authentically for the things that you've done that you regret or that might have caused your partner pain during your relationship. And you want to acknowledge how what you did made them feel. So you might say, look, I'm so sorry for screaming at you and accusing you of betraying me in our last fight. I can imagine that would have been like really hurtful for you to hear, and especially since it's all on my own creation, my imagination. I was angry and I'm sorry and please forgive me. And then you'd apologize for, you know, like I had to do this with my ex-wife and her family. Like I cheated on you for 3 years and lied about it and lied to your face over and over and over when you asked me about it. And I can imagine how you must have guessed something was going on and then you just felt it in your gut, and it must have made you sick to your stomach to watch me lying, knowing that I was lying but having no evidence, and I'm so sorry I betrayed you kind of thing, please forgive me. And you just want to keep going and keep going, like probably 5 minutes each way, and your partner switches. If your partner's not the kind to get vulnerable, you get vulnerable first. It'll encourage them to get vulnerable. Okay, sentence stem number four, or healing conversation number four, is this is another progression of being a little bit more difficult. What I've learned about myself from being in this relationship with you is dot, dot, dot. What I've learned about myself from being in this relationship with you is dot, dot, dot. And here, you want to share how you've grown and what you've learned from your relationship with this person. For example, I learned that true love exists, and I learned how to keep my heart open even when I'm scared. I learned da-da-da-da. I learned that, and you just keep going what you learned about yourself and how you've grown. And what this will do, it'll get you present to the gift that your relationship was to you. Even if it occurred like it was a struggle, you were fighting all the time, da 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 da, you have learned and grown so much. And if you learn and grow from your relationship, then, my friend, you can move on. Then you've actually, the relationship's been a gift, not a failure. It's actually been a huge success. If you don't learn from your relationships, then you failed. And the final one, the fifth conversation, is what you can count for me. What you can count on me for in the future is dot dot dot. What you can count on me for in the future is dot dot dot. And here you're going to share who you're committed to being with this person in the future, and what you're committed to with them. So, for example, you might say, "I'm committed to remaining your friend and only speaking kind words of you." When I was doing this with Chelsea, what I said to her is like, "I'm committed to finding my purpose and becoming the man you always believed I could be. And I'm committed to loving and accepting you unconditionally no matter what you choose for your life." And she turned around and said to me, "I'm committed to being honest and vulnerable with you for the rest of my life no matter how scary that feels." And these were two just incredibly healing things for us to say to each other. And at that point, we burst into tears and just held each other and sobbed in each other's arms, partly with grief and partly realizing, you know, wow, we just had never done this before, and acknowledged each other for the greatness that we saw. We'd gotten so focused on what was wrong, we'd forgotten about what was right. And it was incredibly healing for both of us. And our connection just remained so strong during the next month of that breakup that eventually we actually ended up reuniting. But had we even not reunited, our connection would still have just remained strong. And I was healed. I walked out of that conference and the wound in my chest was gone. The wound in her chest was gone. And we walked out, held hands, walked down to the beach and walked along the beach merrily, you know, excitedly talking to each other. So those are the five things in the healing conversations I teach. I do a lot of that in my coaching, and I'd love to share a little bit of my coaching with sometime in the future, but you just tell me when the appropriate time would be to do that.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. What if,
pleasure.
What if someone would like to have this healing conversation with their ex, but they're not in a position to do so? Maybe their ex or themselves lives too far apart, or maybe their ex is just too angry and too upset and is not answering their phone calls and really doesn't want anything to do with them.
Mm. Well, at that point, you honor what your ex wants. The phone call thing, I mean, the distance thing you can overcome with a phone call. Skype, video chat, you can do this beautifully. If your ex doesn't want to talk to you, you're going to need to honor that for a while and give them the space, because they need to learn how to trust you first, probably, and they just want space from you. And if you give them what they want, then eventually they'll probably talk to you or not. You know, it really depends on how well you've chosen your partner. If you've chosen a conscious partner who's also committed to growth and who's committed to self-awareness and self-development, then they'll probably be far more likely to be willing to have this kind of conversation. They'll see the benefit and the gift in it, and be more likely to say yes. But you never know. You know, sometimes you won't be able to have these conversations, and then I recommend you just do it on your own. You imagine, visualize the person in front of you in your mind's eye, and you start off with, you know, "I thank you for this," and you just tell them, and then "what I love about you is," and "I apologize for," and "what I've learned about myself from being in this relationship with you is," and "what you can count on me from is." And then I recommend what you do is you allow your partner in your imagination to be there with you, to say thank you for, and just listen to what your partner says to you in your imagination. Then allow your partner to say, "what I love about you is," and "I apologize for," etc., etc. So you do it with your partner, but in your imagination. And here, energetically, something's going to shift with your partner, and it, certainly with you, something's going to shift from having done this.
Yes, and our subconscious mind stores the information. If you close your eyes and do this exercise that Bruce is talking about, even without your partner, it will be stored as a memory, as if it really did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you will experience it. So it doesn't matter if the person is in front of you or not. I would definitely still say to go ahead and have this healing conversation, because you will get the healing one way or the other.
And if you want to find out more about these or if you haven't written these down and you want to actually have a record of them, I wrote a blog post on my blog today with these five sentences in specifically for this call. So go to brucemusic.com. That's Bruce, M-U-Z-I-K.com, or M-U-Z-I-K if you're in Europe, brucemuzik.com. And the first blog post there will be, let me just have a look, five healing conversations to have after a relationship breakup. And I kind of outline the whole process there, and you can actually go and have a look there and check it out.
So is that the best website as well for people who want to connect more deeply with your work?
Definitely. Pretty much my blog at brucemusic.com is the hub of all the work that I do. And there's a lot of free information there. If you're interested in relationship breakup stuff and everything that I learned from my relationship breakup, there is a button there that says blog topics. So mouse over the blog topics button and select relationships. All the articles I've written and videos I've created on relationships will come up. And you will learn such a lot just from the relationships category of the blog about how not to repeat your past relationships, how to get complete, and like that.
Wonderful. Thank you for offering that.
A pleasure.
So if you're open to it, I would love to take some questions that people have written in.
I would love to take some questions.
Okay. So our first question is, and I will shorten it a little bit. Try and keep your questions short if you can, just so that we can allow everyone an opportunity. This is from Michelle, and Michelle says, my husband of 28 years left me for his former mistress. We both treated each other badly over the years. I tried very hard the last 4 years to save my marriage. My question is, how do you recover any self-esteem and sense of self when your husband leaves you for his mistress, and he tells you that he needs more than you have to offer, and it was all your fault, and that your behavior cost, that basically your behavior cost you his love and loyalty. She says, I've been a stay-at-home mom for 28 years, and although I'm college-educated, I don't have any job skills. I've never had very good self-esteem to start with, and his comments have destroyed me. I would be so grateful for any help you can offer.
Sure. Was her name Michelle, did you say?
Michelle.
Okay. Hey, Michelle. Thank you for writing in. Well, it sounds like he's blaming you for everything, and you're taking the blame. And the first thing, and, you know, we opened up this call talking about the difference between, you know, blaming yourself and finding yourself at the source of your breakup. So what I recommend in order for you to get your self-esteem back is to own your partner first. It's the first thing you need to do is you need to be able to see how you created this in some degree. Now, I'm not saying you're to blame. He may have done whatever he's done. But as long as you're pointing fingers at him going, you know, because of him, I'm crushed. He left me. He's gone off to his mistress. He's accusing me on this. Like, you're the whole letter that you wrote in, that you typed in, is all about him. You're blaming him, and he's blaming you, and the two of you are in the blame game, and that's never going to empower you and get you to where you want to go, and that's got to end, and that's a choice. It's not an easy thing to do sometimes, Michelle. It's so delicious to be able to blame somebody and to not take responsibility for what you've created, but you've played a 50% role in making this relationship break up. And I would recommend that you pretend that you played a 100% role. Find yourself 100% responsible, and then you have 100% power. The minute you're only 50% responsible and he's 50% responsible, you can't control his 50%, and you don't have 100% power. You only have 50% power. If you want to be really powerful in your life, go and find out what was it that you did that you think drove him away, you know, or that caused him to run back to his mistress, or... And don't listen to his personal attacks. They're not personal attacks on you. They're the words of an angry, scared, probably guilty man, and who doesn't know how to, you know, he's just, after being with you 28 years, and now he's run off. He probably feels, on one hand, free, and on the other hand, as hell for what he's done. And if you take his words seriously and take them to heart, you're just going to damage yourself and your self-esteem. So you're going to need to be vigilant with yourself. I recommend you get some coaching, some counseling, some whatever you need to do to be able to speak and express your pain out and then feel it fully. This is something I didn't actually cover earlier, Anna, that I really want to just put out there to everybody listening, that the way to transform heartbreak pain is to move through it, not around it. The only way out is through. So you need, you know, if you're feeling heartbreak, take some time out every day, just like I suggested, maybe an hour a day, and feel that heartbreak. Make it more intense. Cry. Bawl your eyes out. Write what you have to write. Write nasty letters and then don't send them. Beat the pillow. Do whatever you need to do and don't stop that. Really move through it. And eventually what will happen is it will disappear. As you move through the feeling and you experience it and you allow yourself to fully experience it, it'll move through you. The minute you resist it and try and shut that feeling away, it's going to stay with you for years and years and years. So how do you feel your feelings? Well, Michelle, what I recommend you do is you lock yourself in your bedroom, close your eyes, get those feelings up, and when the pain starts coming up, notice where the pain is in your body and notice what color it is. Notice, you know, what shape it is. Notice if it has a sound. Notice if it has a texture. Notice if it's moving in your body. And make it bigger and bigger and just feel it until it overtakes you and moves through you. And you will sob and sob and sob and you'll feel like you're dying and it'll be painful as hell. But once it moves through you, it's gone and it won't come back. And then you'll have the next layer and the next wave that'll come. And if you do this, you can move through a heartbreak and a breakup in a matter of days instead of a matter of years. Help all my clients do is help them move through heartbreak in a matter of days rather than a matter of years. And that's the secret. So kind of a long answer, Michelle, but I think it's applicable to a lot of people probably listening to the call.
I agree. Okay, so we have another question from Pagona. I hope I'm saying your name right, from Boston. And they say, thanks, Bruce, for your contributions to humanity. I'm happy after years of inner work and consciously choosing to remain single. Now I am ready to enter a relationship with my beloved, yet I'm feeling blocked. Can you speak to this?
No, because I don't know.
Okay.
you need to be specific. I mean, if you're feeling blocked, that's so vague. You probably, what you're meaning to say, if I'm going to read into your words, is that you have a fear. And the fear may be a fear of commitment. It may be what your fear is, because you haven't actually got specific. But if there's a fear, I would go and speak to your partner about it. Go and be vulnerable and share what your fear is with your partner. And start and initiate a conversation for how you could conquer that fear with your partner. I remember when I was with Chelsea, like one of the things that she had was a fear of commitment. For her, commitment meant suffering for the rest of your life in a relationship and a marriage that didn't work, because, you know, that's what she'd seen when she grew up around her, were people who were in failed marriages and just surviving, you know, life in marriages where they were dead and the marriage was dead and the sex had stopped and, you know, there was no fun left anymore. It just looked like drudgery. So for her, commitment equals, you know, death trapped. And we had to have a whole conversation. It took her months and months and months to get over her commitment thing until she eventually got, wow, maybe there's a new model for relationship with commitment freedom. And it actually reminds me of some friends of mine at their wedding vows, when they put the rings in each other's fingers at their wedding, they said, with this ring, I set you free. I love that for relationships. I think that's how all relationships should be, setting your partner free.
That's beautiful. And I think that you've answered Amanda's question from Rosita. She says, why is it so hard to love and trust again?
Well, I think it's hard to love and trust again because, you know, we learn from our past and we tend to put our past into our future. You know, the emotionally traumatic experience from our past, we tend to expect and our mind wants to avoid. But because we're trying to avoid the emotionally intense experiences from our past, we attract them because we're focusing on them all the time, looking to, I don't want to have that experience. I don't want to have somebody who cheats on me. I don't want to have somebody who cheats on me. And, of course, we attract somebody who cheats on me because that's what we're looking for. So it is hard enough, and that's why it's so important to, you know, have a counselor or a therapist or a coach to work through your healing with, so you don't carry any of that baggage, like we were saying at the beginning, into your next relationship and then end up, you know, kind of closing down your life. With every relationship you have, the possibilities get smaller and smaller and smaller because your life gets, you know, you get more and more fearful.
Right. Kathleen from Reading asks, well, she says, I manifested a man into my life 3 years ago. It started too good to be true. And she says, it was so amazing for the first year or so, and then he changed. He's not the same man at all. I still love him, but I need to know how to be done. She's 55 and feels afraid that she will not find someone else, but she's also asking, how do I make the break? And I think this is a good question and speaks probably for a lot of people, is what if they feel that they need to break up with someone and perhaps they're not sure how?
Well, that's a wonderful question, and I think I'm going to give you what I would do. I'm a big proponent of being authentic and being vulnerable. I think those are two keys to incredible power, and they're also very scary things to do. But I would go and have this conversation with your partner before you leave and speak to them about how you feel they've changed and that you're thinking of leaving and that you love them and you don't know what to do. And rather than run away from the relationship, bring it to the relationship. Trust your relationship and your partner enough to deal with it. If your relationship is not trustable and your partner is not willing to communicate with you, then you really just have to make the choice. And you're either going to suffer until it gets bad enough and you run away, or you can do it now and get on with your life. You know, I think deep down inside, everybody knows it's a story they're telling themselves that they'll never find love again, because everybody finds love again. And, you know, I knew, I was telling myself during my breakup, I'd never find a woman like Chelsea again, ever, ever, ever. And deep down inside, I knew that was just a story. It felt so real, but, like, you know, I'd seen so many other people break up in the past and find love again, I knew it was possible. So the thing to do, I think, is just to really not believe the voice in your head, because the voice in your head is a voice of doom and gloom from the past. And if you do believe it, you're setting yourself up to fail. And it's a matter of taking control of your mind and going, you know what? I'm going to choose what I believe. I'm going to choose to believe that this is going to be great. And I'm going to choose to put myself in a situation where I'm empowered. I'm going to leave this relationship. And I'm going to do it with as much integrity, love, and respect for my partner as I can. And I'm getting on with my life and making that choice. And for some people, that choice is easy to make. For other people, you need to hit rock bottom first. It needs to get really bad, like physically abusive, before they're willing to leave. That's all dependent on your self-esteem and your self-image. If you're someone with a high self-esteem, you'll go and communicate with your partner straight away and have a conversation with them. Somebody with low self-esteem will probably stick around forever and tolerate a hell of a lot of abuse before you say anything, and then you'll run away at the end and sneak away when it gets so bad. So I recommend start off by going to speak with your partner and being vulnerable and really open with them. Try therapy. See if you can make it work. If you're committed that you want to leave anyway, look, I can't tell you how to do that. You just have to do it. You've got to come up with the reasons for yourself. You may want to do a cost-benefit analysis of your relationship and of leaving. Like, what are the costs and the benefits of staying, and what are the costs and the benefits of leaving? And get yourself really clear to the point where you're ready to go, and then get some support from your friends. And get a friend to help you, or again, get a coach. And I'd love to, if I can, and I just for a moment just mention, I have decided to do an offer for your listeners for breakup coaching. And I'd very take 30 seconds and mention it to them if that's possible. But could I do that?
Please, go ahead.
Thank you. You know, I was talking to Chelsea today, my lover, and she was telling her about this call as I was preparing for it, and just like saying, honey, really, like, you're one of the best breakup coaches I know. Like, why don't you offer these people some breakup coaching? And it's something I hadn't thought about before. I mean, I'm a coach, a professional coach, and I've coached thousands of people, but I'd never thought of kind of myself into breakup coaching, although I've coached many people through breakups. So I decided I'd put together a special offer. And if you want to check it out, if you feel like you resonate with me and you would love to work with me to help you heal your heartbreak and really shorten the time it takes to get over that pain, go and check out this link. It's brucemusic.com/breakupcoaching. So that's brucemusic.com/breakupcoaching, all one word. brucemusic.com/breakupcoaching. And over there, I got a real special offer for the next 24 hours just for listeners of the Breakup Solution Summit. I've never done my coaching this cheap before. So if you do want to get some coaching with me, there is a way to do it in the next 24 hours. And we'll have a call in the next week, and I'll support you in moving forward really fast.
Thank you for that offer, Bruce.
It's an absolute pleasure, Anna.
Bob, would you like to take a few more questions?
Yeah, I'm digging it.
Okay, great. So Bob asks, do you think there is only one perfect soulmate for everyone?
No. That's my answer.
Okay.
No. I think anybody, you know, there's probably multiple soulmates. I think the experience of having a soulmate is a combination of finding somebody whose puzzle piece matches your puzzle piece. And there's many people with puzzle pieces that match your puzzle piece, but you often don't meet them. And I think when you find yourself in the place of your life for the right timing and everything's right and you meet that person, they occur to you as your soulmate. And I've chosen to create Chelsea in my mind as my soulmate. I've said to her, look, I've decided you're my soulmate. And it's a choice that I make. Every day I wake up and I choose her as my soulmate. Now, she may or may not be my soulmate. There may not even be such a concept. It might just be a human creation. But I choose her as my soulmate. And as choosing her every morning as my soulmate, it empowers me to treat her with the love and respect that, you know, I would want anybody I'm in a relationship with to be treated with, and that I'd like to be treated with myself. And she chooses to do the same. She creates me as her soulmate. And together we love and appreciate each other so much, especially having been through two breakups and almost lost each other. It's been a wonderful way to bring love into our relationship. So I highly recommend, whoever you're with, you decide they're your soulmate if you're in love with them. You know, if you're in love with somebody and you know, you're not willing to decide that they're your soulmate, get out of the relationship or get off it. One of the two would be my advice.
So it's about making a conscious choice.
I think so. Isn't life about making a conscious choice? I think life is
yes.
A conscious choice.
Indeed, yeah. It is. Karen from Oregon says, what are your thoughts on getting into a relationship soon after a breakup? Or maybe even too soon.
Yeah, Karen, it's a question that has... It's interesting to answer. I would err on the side of not doing that. Just because generally when we're out of a previous relationship, we tend to swing to the opposite pole. So we'll be attracted to the person who's the exact opposite of the person we've just been with. What happens? You know, like if we were in an abusive relationship, we'll attract a person who's meek and mild. And we never really deal with the fact of why we were in the abusive relationship in the first place. And then when we're in this relationship with the meek and mild person, they're nice and sweet, but you're bored out of your mind, and that relationship just gets boring. I think rebound relationships can be great if they're just that, rebound relationships, and you're not looking for your soulmates. Like, by all means, go and have some rebound sex. Go and, you know, date and have some fun, or go and take time out on your own, whichever you prefer. But I wouldn't recommend getting straight into a committed, serious relationship without having first dealt with what you needed to deal with in your that caused your relationship to break down and have learned the lessons. And often to learn those lessons takes some time and takes some communication and takes some healing time. If you're going into a relationship not feeling like you're whole and complete, it usually doesn't work out very well.
Okay. Todd from the Dominican Republic says, I've been out of my relationship for about 6 months and feel mostly complete with things. She's in another relationship and we've had several closure conversations. However, listening to you, I feel an urge to do this exercise with her, but it's hard to separate what might be a selfish motive to get something out of it. Perhaps I'm not fully over her. Any advice?
Yeah. Todd is actually one of my best friends. I've just been salsa dancing with him in my salsa class about an hour ago, and we're both down here in the Dominican Republic, and I know who he's talking about. So, Todd, thank you for writing in, and I I'm gonna take this offline with you as well tomorrow. But you know, if you have selfish motives, just be honest about it. You know, I think this exercise could be the most beautiful healing experience for you and her. And sure, we always have selfish motives to some degree. I don't think anything we do is ever not motivated by some self-interest at its core. You know, even if I give you a gift, I give you a gift because it's going to make me feel good. So that's not a problem. As long as, you know, you're upfront with yourself about it. If you can get yourself into a place, Todd, where you're not doing it to win her back, you're really doing it just so that you can experience connection and completion with her, then I would say you're on a pretty good path. And I know you, Todd, you're a smart, responsible man. I don't think you're going to screw this one up, and I highly recommend you do it. And if you want me to coach you on it, by all means, call me tomorrow.
All right. So we'll take a couple more questions. Violetta asks, my ex left us, me and my six-year-old, 3 weeks prior to committing suicide in July. It's still fresh, and I'm wondering, how long am I going to feel like it's all still so fresh? When am I going to feel normal again? Am I ever going to be able to love again?
Wow. Well, firstly, my heart just goes out to you. What was the name of the person who wrote that?
Violetta.
Violetta. I can't even imagine the shock it must be, A, you know, having them break up with you, and then B, having them commit suicide, and the kind of stories you could potentially make up about yourself when something like that happens. So firstly, just know that my heart goes out to you. It's going to take some time if you don't get help. Left to your own devices, it's going to take some time. I'd like to recommend A, like, take me up my coaching offer, or B, go and do a seminar called the Landmark. It's a really great seminar for helping people deal with the meaning that we make when things that are traumatic happen, because that's exactly what we do. We make up meaning. A traumatic thing happens, like a breakup, and we go, you know, we'll make up some kind of coping strategy, some meaning to cope with it. So it might be, you know, I'm unlovable, or all men will cheat, or, you know, we explain it away in meaning, and it's usually this meaning is emotionally based and not based in reality, and then we live like our meaning's true. And when we do that, we've just put another box around our life. So, Violetta, I would recommend seek some professional help. And when you're seeking professional help, it's not because there's something wrong with you. It's because you're really committed to moving through this as fast as possible and living an empowered life. If you sit with this on your own with something of this magnitude, and I don't know how, you know, it sounds like you're taking it pretty heavily, but something of this magnitude could be devastating for your future, and you could sit with it for quite a while. I would recommend getting professional help. And it's more than I can deal with on the call. Though I will say time does heal, that cliche, but often time heals. You know, when you've broken a bone and it heals over time, let's say you break your leg, but you can never walk straight again, and often people walk around limping. Well, if every relationship is like breaking a bone, by the time you reach midlife, you're going to be limping in every leg. You're going to have arms that are bent. You have a neck that's skew, and you're not going to be very attractive to anybody. So healing over time isn't always the optimal thing to do. You actually want to heal thoroughly and completely, so that when you heal, you actually are back to in better shape than you were before. And what most people do is they allow time to heal, and then they're not in better shape than they were before. The pain goes away, but the scar and the wound is still there underneath the surface. And that's why I think professional help is so important. So the Landmark Forum was a great seminar. Landmarkeducation.com is their website. It's relatively inexpensive, and it's a transformative 3 days. Otherwise, if you want to get some coaching from me, brucemuzik.com/breakupcoaching. That's brucemuzik.com/breakupcoaching. And I'll be more than willing to work with you.
Okay, thank you for sharing that information. So our last question is from Joyce in Vancouver, and she asks, how can I move through the heartbreak of losing my husband to cancer last year. We had 30 years of a beautiful marriage and now would like to move forward, but the fear of loss of another, if I do meet someone, is so great. And I would also add to that, I think a lot of people might have a fear of maybe getting into another relationship because the pain of losing someone is so great. It's almost like, you know, what's the point?
Sure, totally. Well, this is such a beautiful question, and there's several ways I can approach it. The one angle I'll approach it from is, you know, sometimes it's just a matter of facing your fear. If you're not facing fear in life, you're contracting. And when you're contracting, you're shrinking and living a smaller and smaller and smaller existence. It's less and less extraordinary. The only way to grow and to create a more extraordinary life than the one you had with your husband who died of cancer is to face your fear. And I'm sure he would want you to, right? He would want you to be happy. And the only way to get from where you are right now to happiness is to go through your fear. And if your fear is the fear of losing someone again, then that's the fear you have to face. I've had to face this fear with Chelsea. Biggest fear in life is fear of abandonment in relationships. It always comes up for me. Every single relationship that's been meaningful to me, I've feared my partner would leave. And of course, I attracted a woman who left me twice in succession. The one woman I thought was my soulmate abandoned me in my mind twice. But the beauty of it was that I could see here was something I was weak and I needed to look at. This was going to run my life forever, this fear of being abandoned. And so I faced my fear and blessed her on her way and decided, you know what, I'm going to get up again and I'm going to love again. And I'm actually going to stand for getting her back. I'm going to stand tall and put a stake in the ground for having love in my life. And I actually wrote a stake. I picked up a piece of bamboo on the beach and wrote on this bamboo with a marker pen exactly what I want from a relationship. And now I have everything on that bamboo. I just got really clear on what I wanted and took a stand, decided I was not going to shrivel away from fear. So what are you? And I get the grief and the pain of having your husband pass away, and you may have related to some of those stages that I shared earlier, those five stages of grieving from Elizabeth Kubler-Ross. You know, if you've gotten to acceptance and now it's a matter of going out there again, I think you've just got to make the choice. I'm going to do this and I'm scared. And then talk about it. Say you're scared. Own it. You know, speak to the person about it that you're dating. Say, look, I'm scared. I'm going to lose you again. And, you know, and tell your friends about it. Don't hide it. Don't pretend it's not happening. Just be honest about it. Be vulnerable about it. And, you know, I'm sure people are going to be cool with it. And if it happens, feel it. Don't resist it. Don't run away from it. When we run away from our pain and our fear, we attract it over and over again into our future. And it kind of brings up one quick mindset I wanted to touch on and actually in the beginning of the call that I'd written down here. And that's that, you know, I don't think there are any failed relationships. Any relationships fail. All relationships break down until one doesn't. So if you're in a breakup right now, and you're feeling like you failed, and I'm slightly changing topic here, but I just wanted to kind of end on this for a second, Anna, if that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you're feeling like you failed, just know that every relationship you've been in has ended, every single one, and this one has. And the last relationship you're going to be in is going to be the one that doesn't end. And it's not going to end because, you know, it'll be the one that you die in, or it'll be the one that's ends and you'll die single. But all your relationships, all your romantic relationships will end until one doesn't. So to beat yourself up is kind of pointless. And to fear that you'll lose again is kind of pointless because everything comes to a natural end. All things end. And, you know, the lady who wrote in who's scared of losing a partner again, you may lose your partner again, you know. That's very possible. I mean, you know, given that, are you going to live a life without love and live in fear, or are you going to go out there and bravely love and embrace your fear and courageously go forth and live the rest of your years with passion and an open heart? So I kind of want to share that. And the other thing I want to say is that couples that never experience pain never grow. So if you're in a relationship that where you're experiencing some pain right now and things aren't working out, before you think of leaving, know that you're experiencing pain because there's an opportunity for you to grow. And there's a way to make this relationship work, no doubt, if both of you are conscious and willing to make it work. And maybe the growth is to leave. Sometimes the growth is to leave. But very often I see people wasting away perfectly good relationships, perfectly wonderful soulmates, because they think relationships shouldn't pain, and they should be happy, there shouldn't be any fighting, there shouldn't be any disagreements. That's a load of rubbish. If you're thinking that, you're just setting yourself up for failure. The only way to grow is through pain. And so with that, I kindly take my coaching hat off tonight, and thank you, Anna. That was an amazing, amazing hour and a bit.
Oh, thank you. This has been an incredible experience together. It's been a journey. And I personally feel like my life has changed now with this information. So thank you, Bruce. It's been very valuable.
I just quickly wanted to say thank you for having me open this Breakup Solution Summit. I think what you're doing is truly extraordinary. And I've seen the amount of work you've put into it and all the emails you sent out and the planning you've done to make this happen. And I just, you know, I'm sure everybody at home who's listening to this right now would agree with me that what you're doing is providing so much value for people, so needed. And I just want to acknowledge you and say thank you. Thank you, firstly, for having me and inviting me, but thank you, more importantly, for creating this for everybody who's going through breakups. You're extraordinary, and this is a real gift.
I really appreciate that. That really touches my heart, and it's my pleasure. I feel like I'm an ambassador for those that are in emotional pain and trying to heal their heartbreak. So this really is a labor of love. And we are now at the end of this wonderful call. And those of you that are listening, I know you know someone who can benefit from this information. So if you can just give them an email and say, go to breakupsolutionsummit.com/replay and let them know, I would really like you to listen to Bruce music. And then they can hear the replay and have the opportunity to hear this valuable information. I would also love to hear from all of you. So if you get a chance, please share your comments below in the Facebook plugin at the bottom of the page, and I promise you I will respond. I think we can take away from this time we've spent with Bruce that when we end a relationship in a conscious, loving way, we heal something fractured within ourselves. And that has the power to transform us on a deep core level. Breakups are the ultimate test of character. When we can become conscious of our own weaknesses and take the attention off others and put it on ourselves, is when we take back our power to grow beyond the person that we were to become the person we've always been. So I invite you to let this breakup be an opportunity to bring out the best in you. I want to thank you, Bruce, and I want to thank you, everyone. I care about you, and I look forward to connecting with you all again tomorrow evening, same time, same place. Good night, everyone.